Okay, praise the Lord. For those of you who are joining by Facebook, joining the gathering who's already here, you've missed a lot already, and that is not your fault, it's our fault. We had some technical issues that we will be better prepared for to defeat and overcome next time. But we just had a wonderful time in praise and worship, and we also had a tremendous special song that, and all of it blessed our hearts, and we're so glad that we're here. What we're doing tonight, this is the Texas House of Prayer Facebook page, and I'm sure it's going to be reposted by many different people, but we have three churches joined together tonight in one accord to worship the Lord and hear His Word proclaimed, and to fellowship and get to know one another better. We're excited about what God is doing, and we're so thankful for how this came about. I'm going to introduce myself and the Texas House of Prayer group. We're going to have you stand in a minute, and then we're going to go to Grace Family Church and also to Abundant Life Ministries, New Life Ministries. I am so glad. I'm so glad that Brother Marshall loves me. Now you know what my wife puts up with all the time. Okay. My name is Steve Howell. Myself, Jason Tate, where are you? Come up here quick. Amen. Jason Tate and I are here at Texas House of Prayer. We are fellow elders and the elder led congregation, and I'm so thankful to Jason. He's not only a fellow elder, he's a son in the Lord that has been nothing but blessing. Amen. Sorry, to me for years. Go sit down, you're messing me up. I'm so thankful and privileged to be in relationship with Jason. It's been nothing but an honor and a privilege to walk this journey with him. My wife, Susan, is also here tonight. Susan, quickly.
Amen.
All right.
The camera's got to see you.
Okay.
Can't miss this. Go sit down. She'll really mess me up. No telling what'll come out. Anyway, I'm so thankful. Susan and I have been married for 44 years next Sunday. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for the blessing of a good wife. As I said, Jason and I are fellow elders here at Texas House of Prayer. We also have Brother Dustin Lewis. If you follow us anytime, he also preaches here. He's a deacon here, a tremendous blessing of the Lord in all of his deacery that he does. But he also preaches, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for what God, how he uses him. So thank you, Dustin. Would all the rest of Texas House of Prayer stand up where you are? I know the camera's probably not going to be able to pick you up. But as you look around and see, we have a lot of children.
Amen.
We have a few folks missing tonight that are normally here. But I think every church body has that same thing. But thank you, Texas House of Prayer. God bless you, and we're glad that you're here tonight enjoying this. Also a part of this meeting is Grace Family Church, and Brother Larry Whitehead is going to be bringing the word. He's the pastor there. Brother Larry, I'll introduce you more in a minute, but he's been a tremendous blessing. I've known him not really well back then, but back in the early 80s, and just kind of rekindled relationship. And he's been such a dear friend, him and his wife June, to us, and we're so thankful that we know them. Would you stand, and with the people of Grace Family Church that are here tonight, stand? Thank you so much. I've had the privilege of preaching there on a few occasions, and they've always made me feel so welcome. It's always been a joy to be there. And last but not least, my new friend, my new really close friend, Brother Marshall Hall. Would you stand, brother, of New Life Ministries? And you know what I have found in the relationship with Brother Larry and with Brother Marshall? A real kindred spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
It is so easy for people to dismiss you and feel like, I have no need of thee. Right. And they're in their own little world doing their own little thing, and they never get past it. And these brothers are open to God doing something different in our area.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful to God for that. And he's just been a godsend ever since we've come into contact with one another. Well, all the people who have come from New Life Ministries, would you stand tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. I'd just like to say real briefly that the vision for these joint services is we have a purpose in these meetings, and this purpose is to strengthen the body of Christ in this area. I don't know if anybody else is, or I haven't, but I don't know if anybody here has ever come across family that you didn't know you had. I haven't had that opportunity or privilege, but it would be a joy to find out that I had some sort of family that was out there that I didn't know, and all of a sudden I'm connected with them. Well, this is what this meeting is. It's introducing family to family. This is family you didn't know you had. And what a blessing. What a blessing. So we want this to not only begin tonight, but we want it to continue. There's people that couldn't make it. We're missing them. There's other church bodies in the area that I think if they'll just listen to the Lord, I think they'll join with us. The frequency of the meetings, we're looking right now at once a quarter. And I think that's not too often for us to have a celebration service like this. I think that we can handle that. It is extra on all of us, but I feel refreshed being here. I don't feel more tired. I feel refreshed. We're going to be moving the venue from location to location. When we have participating churches that are large enough to have it in their building, it will be in their building. And we'll just keep, as God brings more people in and they have a building large enough, we'll just keep moving the venue and putting it in different places, because we don't want any one person or any one group to be the face of what's going on. We want the face of this to be Jesus.
Amen.
And we want growth over time. We want to see this grow by more of our own people coming out, catching the vision, being a part of it, celebrating with us. And we also want to see growth as it grows out into the other church families in our area. I don't believe we're the only three groups that are willing to meet. I think it just needs a little bit more promotion, a little bit more. And that's what God's put on my heart. God's put on my heart to try to bring the body of Christ in this area together. Not in some ecumenical way where we rally around the least common denominator, that there must be a God up there somewhere. No. But true, born-again, spirit-filled believers who can come together, magnify the Lord, and go out with a purpose that we're going to be more effective in our local area than we've ever been before. And so we want to see other church bodies who are open to it to be included. We're not exclusive people. We're inclusive to the right people. And the right people are born again, spirit-filled, word-honoring people. So that's all I have tonight. Thank you once again for coming. Welcome to our building. We're glad as Texas House of Prayer to host this first one. We're looking forward to coming to the next venue and being supportive of what God is doing in this meeting at that place. There'll be other people leading worship. Right now it makes more sense that whoever's building we're in, they lead the worship. But I can see a time as we come closer and closer together that the worship teams begin to work together. That's going to take a little bit more effort, a little bit more work, but I think it's going to be worth it. So there's a lot, when we have vision for this, there's a lot that we can see that God is going to do through this. And I really, really, really believe that as others see what God is doing and get a heart for it, that we can, not just in this area, but if this can be replicated all over the world, what a better place this will be when we're less divided and more together. Amen. 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 So I'm going to ask Brother Larry Whitehead to come and bring the Word of God to us. After he's finished, I'll come up, make some concluding remarks, and then we have refreshments in the other room if anybody can stay. Part of that is not just because you want refreshments, but you want to be refreshed by the fellowship of other people. So avail yourselves of that and of the fellowship that it accords. You see one another enough in your own churches. Don't gather together in little groups. Oh, that's them over there, and that's no. We're getting to know one another. Amen. 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 So step outside your comfort zone. I do that every time I stand up. Every time I stand up, it's outside my comfort zone. But the anointing of God comes on me, and that's what we long for. We long for that anointing because it breaks the yoke. So, Brother Larry Whitehead, if you would you come? We're going to keep the Facebook feed rolling. I'm going to pass the mic over to you, and we're going to be blessed. I said I'd say a little bit more about Brother Larry. I've known him for a number of years. Most of those years, I didn't know him well. The last couple of years, we've gotten to know him very well. He's been a dear friend. And anybody who can call you up and say, "Can you help me out?" is a friend. And anybody who calls up and says, "Can I help you out?" is a friend. Right. I've had both conversations with Brother Larry. He's a dear brother. And I thank you, brother, for your work for the Lord in this area. Amen. He's been here a long time. He looks like a teenager, I know. But he's been in the area for a long time serving the Lord, laying his life down on behalf of the kingdom of God. And we honor you for that, my brother. So if you put that in your pocket and put that on your tie. Okay.
Let's see. Like that.
He's a microphone man. Here we can do you.
Oh, okay.
Here we do you.
All right. Okay, that'll work.
Okay. Just stick that in your side pocket. All right. Bob's your uncle.
Testing 1, 2. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here this afternoon, and I count it a privilege and an honor to be here with you and to share God's word with you this afternoon. And I greatly appreciate all the ministers, Brother Howell and Jason, and Brother Marshall, and some of the others that we have prayer with from time to time. But nevertheless, we're here to see what God has to say to us. And as I've often said, and I tell my people all the time, that these are not my opinions, they're not my commands. This is God speaking to us through His Word. And if you have a problem with that, you need to talk to Him, not to me. Amen. Praise God, because it's not my word, it's His word.
Amen.
And I also tell people that my goal is not to necessarily make you feel good, but although I think we can feel good many times when we consider all the wonderful promises that God has for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And my goal is to get you to heaven. Praise the Lord. If I can get you to heaven, then you'll be thanking me for a million years. Praise the Lord. So I just want to share a few things with you today. And when Brother Hal asked me to minister, God began to speak to my heart almost immediately on what He wanted me to speak about here this afternoon. And I'm going to turn in our Bible to a couple of places, Genesis 11th chapter. And by the way, you might want to hold on to your seat because we're going to cover a lot of ground this afternoon. In the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 1, we find that at this particular time, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And he says, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, go and let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now, actually, that really means to reach above the clouds. Because there's not enough material in this earth to build a tower to heaven. Are you with me this afternoon?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But I've been in plains and I've seen mountains sticking right up through the clouds. And that's what they were trying to do. But it wasn't God's will for that to happen. And then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So what did God do? God came down and confused their language so that suddenly they could not understand one another. And they left off building that tower. And then we go to the book of Acts. The second chapter of the book of Acts. You probably already know what we're going to be talking about there. But we find here that on the day of Pentecost, we see that they were all in the upper room and they were obeying the Lord by doing so. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the place where they were at. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, and like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then there were people there that were there in hearing these people speak in tongues. And then in verse 8, notice what he says here. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and all the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
Amen.
That, my friends, is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. And it happens as a result of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God makes us to understand one another once again. We have the same Spirit, and we come together as they did on the day of Pentecost in one accord. My son said to me here just recently, he said, "Dad, you know how they got to the upper room?" And I said, "Well, I guess some of them walks, some of them out of the road in a horse or something." He said, "No, they came in one accord, a Honda accord." Amen. I don't think they had them back then, though. Amen. But nevertheless, God wants us to avail ourselves of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm here this afternoon. I'm nothing by myself. If the Holy Spirit was not within me, I could do nothing. We are all dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we're going to accomplish anything, we need to step aside and let the Holy Spirit began to move and let him minister to people.
Yes.
Praise God. Over my years of preaching, I've seen God do wonderful things. I've had people come up to me. As a matter of fact, I had a young man one Sunday morning, and after the service, his pastor said, "Can I talk to you in private?" And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Come on in my office." And we came in my office, and he sat down. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "you just told my whole life story." And I said, "I did." He said, "Yes." He said, "How did you know all that stuff about me?" And I had to explain to him. I said, "Look, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit." As a matter of fact, I know that a lot of things that he thought I said to him, I didn't say it. But the Holy Spirit was causing him to hear something other than what I was saying. And it touched his heart. Praise God. And I've had that happen more than once in my ministry. But thank God today that we can rely upon the Holy Spirit. And the title of my message this afternoon is The Power of Unity.
Yes.
We've been talking about, others have been talking about, the power of unity. In Genesis here where we read, they were unified. And what did the Lord say? He says, whatever they imagine to do, they will be able to do it because they are of one mind. Amen? They're all agreed on what they are to do, and they're all ready to work to bring it to pass. You see, we need that kind of unity. You see, I see that the devil knows the power of unity. But it's sad that many Christians don't know the power of unity.
You're right.
And that's where we're lacking many times, because when we're united, we're undefeatable.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But we need that uniting that only the Holy Spirit can bring. Praise the Lord. When they were in the upper room, they were all in one accord. Now, what does that mean? The word accord is the word hono in the Greek. Hono. And it means at the same place or at the same time together. Praise the Lord. A lot of people say, well, I'll just sit at home, have my church at home. No, you can't be of one mind and one accord sitting home.
Right.
Amen? That's exactly what that old devil wants you to do, is to sit home.
Right.
He wants to segregate you and keep you from uniting with the body of Christ and realize the power of unity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants us to come together. And the Tower of Babel, the word Babel means Belel. It means to mix, confuse, or to confound. It's sad sometimes that that's exactly what's happened to some churches. They're confused. I want to talk about several things that keeps us from having that unity in the body of Christ. And the devil, he loves it when he can keep us from being united. The first thing that I want to talk about is, so often it's that we're hung up on differences of beliefs. The story of the Bible is not difficult. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and all this within it. He created the animals, fowls of the air, fish of the sea, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Then he crowned it with making man in his own image, in his own likeness, and giving him a helpmeet, which was Eve. She was taken from man. She was called woman. She was called Eve because she was the mother of all living, the scripture says.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And they were there in a garden where everything flourished. They didn't have to toil or labor. Amen? They were God people. Now stay with me here. They were immortal. They had the glory of God in them, and they had the glory of God covering their bodies. Shining like a light. Amen. But that old devil was jealous of mankind from day one. And he decided that he was going to try to pull them down. So he came to Eve and said, is there anything in this garden that you can't eat? Oh, we can eat of everything except that tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't touch it. We can't go too near it. We're supposed to stay away from it. Because if we eat of it, we're going to die.
That's right.
And what that devil said, he called God a liar. He said, you won't die if you eat of that tree. Now, I hope you'll stay with me because I'm going to be coming back to this later in the message. And so, Eve, and not only that, but he says, it will make you like God. Now, stay with me. Praise God. She saw that it was good to eat and make one wise. And what was that? To exalt oneself.
Right.
And she partook of that tree and ate it and gave it to her husband. And suddenly, they realized their mistake too late. And that's the sad thing with a lot of people today, isn't it? God help us. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And so what happened? They no longer were immortal. They no longer had the glory of God. in them and covering them. They realized they were naked now. And they ceased to live even one day. God wasn't lying when he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you will die. Why? Because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Not one man or woman lived to be 1,000 years after they sinned in the garden. God never lies. He said, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let us not be hung up on things in the Bible. Amen. You can't believe in evolution and still be a believer. Because God being the creator of the heavens and the earth is the basis and foundation for everything in this Bible. And yet they teach it in our schools as if it's a fact. Because that's another sermon there. As a matter of fact, there's about 5 sermons right here. But I'm not gonna preach all of them this afternoon, but it'd be like Brother Steve came by church and preaching. He said, this is just the 1 of 4 sermons. I love Brother Hal. He's a wonderful man. I let him come back and preach those other points. And we enjoyed it too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we find here that we get hung up on certain things. God created man sinned. God in Genesis 3:15, he says, the time will come when the seed of the woman will conquer that old devil. He'll stomp his head. Amen. It'll bruise your heel when you do it, but you'll crush his head and you'll defeat him. And of course, all through the Bible, the prophets prophesied at the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right up to the time that God sent his son into this earth. And why did he send his son? Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Praise God. Jesus came, born of the Virgin Mary, robed himself in flesh, dwelt among us. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Showed us the right way, beginning with us the gospel. Went about being and doing many wonderful deeds, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, and causing the lame to walk and the dead to raise to life once again. But then his main mission was to go to that cross and to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Raised the 3rd day for our justification. It's become our high priest sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us daily. And then, friends, he shed abroad the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to all of those who would believe him and was willing to follow him. Praise God. We don't need to be hung up on what day we're to worship on or what we're supposed to eat. That's not going to save you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We just need to believe what the Word of God says. And we can come together and be united in our belief. Can you say?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, number one, there's a lot more to what we talked about. Not only is that, but Jesus gave us the commandment, the commission, the great commission. Right. To go on to all the world and to preach the gospel.
Yes.
He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Yeah. Then you shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world. Matthew 28, go into all the world, preach the gospel.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. And those who believe shall be saved. Those who believe not are damned already. And then those who believe, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe and to do all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Praise God. We have that great commission that God has given to us. And that's exactly what the devil tries to keep us from fulfilling is that great commission that Jesus Christ has given to us. And he says, I want you to do this until I come again for you. John 14, I'll go away, but I'm going to come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you?
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number two, this is Corinthians, the 13th chapter. How many of you know what that is? It's the love chapter. But how many of you know that 13 is not an unlucky number? Did you know what it means in Hebrew? The number 13? It's the number for love. There's chapter 13 with 13 verses. It's a double love. Are you with me today? Praise God. So don't ever think of 13 as being an unlucky number. It's a lucky number. Praise God. Don't let the devil steal that away from you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one of the things that keeps us from uniting is a lack of love, friends. Where the word used for charity actually means love. Love suffereth long. And love is kind. Love envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Praise God. We need that kind of love. Praise God. We need enough love that we can put up with one another. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Long suffering. Enduring. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's the agape love. Amen. That's the kind of love that comes from God. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to turn now to the book of Matthew. And I'm going to share a little story with you right out of Scripture here. And I can tell it to you. You don't have to read it. But there, Jesus was passing through the country from Tyre and Sidon, it says. And behold, a woman from Canaan came out of the same coast, and she started crying after Jesus. And she said, Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. In other words, she's tormented. Some texts say demons. But nevertheless, she was tormented. And notice what it says here. It says that Jesus said not a word. I have a hard time. My wife's always telling me, stay where the microphone is. Used to, I walked up and down the aisles. I can't do it anymore. Praise the Lord. But anyway, the scripture says that Jesus answered another word. Here she is crying and screaming for Jesus to help her, and he says not a word to her, as if he is totally ignoring her. So much so that the disciples said, Lord, send her away, for she continues to cry out. And Jesus spoke not a word to her. Right there is where some people are going to bail out. Are you with me? That can't be a man of God. He doesn't care about that woman. He doesn't care about her daughter. Why, we're going to go some other place. Find somebody else. But friend, this woman knew that there wasn't anybody else. And Jesus was the answer. Oh, thank God. Amen. And instead of being upset and going home and pouting about it, she continued to cry out. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus said this. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are you with me this afternoon? Racial discrimination. He only cares about the Jews. He doesn't care about anybody else but the Jews. What kind of person is he to be such a racial person as that? Praise the Lord. And again, some people would be ready to bail out right there. What kind of man is that anyway? But then he goes on, because after he says that, most people would be ready to throw rocks at Jesus. But notice what she did. It says she worshiped him. She worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Praise God. The word worship means to bow down, by the way. Yes. Amen. You can't worship God unless you bow down. You can praise God by standing up, which the word praise means to lift up. Right. But to worship God means to bow down before the Lord. She fell at the feet of Jesus, face to the ground, and worshiped him. Even though he said, I'm sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Oh, praise God. But then that's not the whole story. Then he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You know what that word dog means in the Greek? It's the word koun, K-O-U-N. And what does it mean? It means a hound dog. He said it's not fit to throw the children's bread to the hound dogs. In other words, Jesus was implying that she was nothing more than a hound dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, just crocking all the time, I would say. What do you think some people would think about that today if Jesus said that to them? Oh, he's name calling now, putting us down. Oh, yeah. And many people today, they think so highly of themselves that they are easily offended. This woman was not easily offended. You know what Jesus was doing? He was testing her resolve. What was more important to her? To be praised? To be shown respect and honored? To be flattered with words? So much of us, so oftentimes we have an inflated ego. Self-inflated ego. Yeah. And yet the scripture tells us we should not think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to. As a matter of fact, he said we should esteem others better than ourselves. Are you with me today? God help us. But these offended people are ready to pick up their stuff and go home. You know, there's a lot of people that go to churches and they fail to realize why they're coming to church and why they should be coming to church. Some people come because they think that they're the judge of churches. So they hop from one church to the other and judge whether they're worth attending or not. But the scripture says that Jesus is the judge. I just got through preaching 7 sermons on the 7 messages to the 7 churches of Asia. Jesus Christ is the judge of the church.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Not people, amen?
Amen?
Some people think they're called to be the judges. Well, they're not, amen? They say, well, I'm not going to that church because that's full of hypocrites. Well, we've always got room for one more. Some people say, well, when I find that perfect church, I'm going to join it. Well, when you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. Jesus is the judge, and he's the one that we're going to stand before one of these days. And we're going to answer to him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So we find here that these people who are easily offended are one of the reasons why we don't have the unity in our churches. People have hurt feelings. There's hardly anything you can say anymore that doesn't offend people. It's a shame. And yet the scripture tells us that we're to forgive one another.
Yep.
Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Yes.
Oh, praise God.
Yes.
Jesus prophesied of these things in saying to us that in the last days there would be many who would be offended. Matthew 24:10. He says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And because of iniquity, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus also said that the enemies of a man would be those of his own household. We're divided, and Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But we're divided as a nation. We're divided on every level of government, from the White House to the city council, the school board, and many other things. But it's also the home. We're divided in our homes. Divorce rate's over 60%. Nowadays, most people don't even bother to get married. They just shack up. We're divided. We're divided in so many ways. And as a result, we're weakened. But it's not just out there in the world. We're divided in our churches.
Yes, we are.
Some people left the church because they didn't paint the walls the right color. Or didn't put the right carpet on the floor. Or didn't put any carpet at all on the floor. Or just polished it. Amen. Which is okay. Praise the Lord.
That's Jason's fault.
Jason's fault. It doesn't bother me, brother. Praise the Lord. Anyway, but God wants us to once again realize the strength and power of being unified. You see, when you get offended, and you get upset with others in the church, that old devil's sitting over there in the bleachers, and he's just jumping up and down, clapping his hands, and get out of each other's throat. Tell them what you think of them. Go home. Oh, he's excited when people start doing those things. Why? Because he knows that he's going to keep you and the church from fulfilling the mission that Christ has given us to fulfill. Praise the Lord. You see this woman that we just talked about a moment ago. She kept her eyes upon the thing that was the most important. She was willing to suffer ridicule. She was willing to suffer racial discrimination. She was willing to suffer being put down and likened unto a hound dog. Why? Because the need of her daughter was greater than all of that. And my friends, the mission of the church is greater than any offense that you have to put up with. Praise the Lord. God wants us to keep our eyes upon the thing that he has commissioned us to do. Oh, praise God. But so often it is that we are the major problem. We have an exalted ego. And we want to be patted on the back. We want to be complimented. We want people to flatter us with words. Oh, are you with me this evening? Oh, God help us. Praise the Lord. But we have to keep our eyes upon that which is the most important. Praise the Lord. And you see, there's a lot of fake things out there in the world. I was attending a wedding one time. I was working for a sales, leasing, and management company. And we managed properties, apartment complexes, office buildings, and all kinds of stuff. And one of the managers of one of our apartments, she was going to get married. And so they said, we're going to take an extra long lunch and we're going to go attend her wedding. It was just going to be at the Botanical Gardens there in Fort Worth. So we all went down to the park and waited for everybody to show up. And of course, the bride and the groom, they showed up. And then a little bit later, the minister showed up that was going to perform the wedding. And so when he opened up, he said, let's pray. And so he prayed. And he prayed. He said, all spirits everywhere, come and join with us here this evening as we unite this couple in marriage. And I was thinking to myself, all spirits? No, no. And I said, I don't know, only her. Only spirit I want to hear this evening is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. And it was a strange ceremony that they had. And so after it was over with, I walked over close to where he was. And I said, by the way, I said, what church are you with? And you know what he said to me? I'm a pastor of the Unity Church. The name sounded good, but it's deceiving.
Yes, it is.
And so I was going to ask him, what do you believe? What do you teach? But before I could ask him, he came right out and told me. He says, I'm a medium. He says, we hold seances. In other words, as the scripture says, necromancer or necromancy. And what it is and what it means is an infatuation of the dead, for the dead. Calling up spirits of the dead. communicating with them and trying to prophesy things that's going to happen in the future by calling up the spirits of the dead. This is exactly what King Saul did. He went to the witch of Endor. She was a necromancer and called up the spirit of Samuel. Well, what a deception.
Yes.
And there's much deception in the world today.
Yes,
churches passing themselves off to be churches. I remember going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and visiting my sister and her husband there, and they said, "We're going to go to the Methodist church because we've got several of the professors that go there." And said, "Some of them teach classes." And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "We'll go with you." So we went over to the church, and we got there in time enough for the Sunday school class. Walked into the Sunday school class and sat down. And here came the teacher. And he says, "Okay," he said, "this is what we've been discussing." He said, "We're going to continue to discuss this." And he said, If there was this boat out on the ocean, and he said, and suddenly, he says, we were stranded out there, and he said, we've got old people, we've got young people, we've got children on board. He says, and we're running out of food and water. He says, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to throw the old people over first because they have a very slim chance of surviving anyway. Or are we going to throw the little children over because they're just too much trouble anyway?" And he says, "Or should we just let the most strongest survive? What shall we do?" And one of the women in the class held her hand. She said, "I think I'd pray." And you know what he said to her? He said, "I think we come to the conclusion that praying wouldn't do any good in this situation." You know what that's called? Situational ethics being taught in the church. And yet, they claim to be a great church. Isn't that sad? God help us today. Praise God. The scripture tells us that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. He said, in the bond of peace, with all lowliness and meekness, and with the long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's from the book of Ephesians. Praise the Lord. God wants us to dwell together in unity. Psalm 131:1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Praise the Lord. I pray this afternoon that each and every one of you would search your own hearts and think back on the times that somebody said something to you or did something that offended you. And how did you react to that? We should be willing, as Peter said, to suffer. Jesus left us an example, he said. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm going to turn over there and read that for you because I think it's important. Jesus left us an example. He says, "Who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." Praise God. Oh, God help us. That we will not be easily offended. But we would unite. Bear the reproach. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. He said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yet he was esteemed, stricken, smitten of God, a man of sorrows. In other words, they thought he was crazy. But he bore that reproach, friends, for you and for me. Amen. Praise God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, praise God. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. I preached on the Lamb of God this morning. Praise God. Like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our example. Praise God. We should be willing to bear the reproach and keep our eyes upon the mission. To fulfill God's command. To preach the gospel to the whole world. Praise God. And to be united. As the body of Christ. Whom Christ is the head. And we are the members in particular. Can you say praise God? Will you be one of those members that will obey the Lord? And follow him and fulfill his desires for your life and not our own desires. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as I said, I'm going to have to cut it short. Because I don't want to keep you here all night. Praise God. It's like one of the ladies in my church, she's already passed away now. She's a wonderful woman of God. One of the elders in our church, and she said one Sunday morning, her pastor that she grew up under said was preaching, and there was one of the parishioners sitting on the front pew, and said he fell asleep. He said the pastor grabbed the songbook and threw it at him, and he hit the bench right beside of him, and he suddenly jumped to his feet and said, "Amen." And the preacher said to him, "It's much later than you think." So I don't want to put anybody to sleep this afternoon. Praise the Lord. But I hope that you will meditate upon the things that I've shared with you this afternoon. And let us all be better kinds of people and unite. Hallelujah. Unite as the body of Christ. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Go to heaven.
Thank you. Praise the
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank
you,
Larry.
Very good.
Thank you, brother. Wow. Thank you so much.
Amen.
We still rolling, Daniel? Okay. Brother Hall, I'd like for you to come up and close us in prayer. Once again, I'm so thankful for this evening, not only for what it is, but also for what it represents. I know that God has something in store for this area.
Amen.
We just need to be bold enough, brave enough, audacious enough to believe God that He can do it and that He will do it. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the face of the whole earth, searching for someone to show himself strong on their behalf.
Amen.
He's looking for people to bless and to use.
Amen.
Here am I, Lord, use me.
Yes.
Here are we, Lord, use us. If it can happen anywhere, why not in Johnson County, Texas?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother, come on up. Once Once Brother Marshall closes us in prayer, remember we have some refreshments in the next room. I know it's late and everybody's got a lot of things, but if you can spend a few minutes, just reach out to somebody you don't already know. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're glad they're here.
Amen. Let's all stand together. Father, we just thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, I just thank you for your presence that we have felt in this place. We thank you for the power of your word that has gone forth. Lord, let your word take root in our hearts, Lord. Let it not be stolen. But Lord, we just thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst, Lord. And we're excited about what is happening, Lord. And so we want to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. We don't want to be on the sidelines. We want to be down there on the playing field, part of what you have in store. And so we thank you tonight. I speak blessings over your people, blessings over our churches, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you, and we thank you for the food that we're about to partake of, the natural food, Lord. And so we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.